Tim Dillon, because I need to get my YouTube numbers up. Hey, Tim.
Anything I can do. Anything I can do. Thank you for having me.
You are such a bad match for the Good For You audience. This is truly just to get more YouTube subscribers.
Yeah, I mean, and it saddens me that more of them haven't taken a liking to me. So ladies out there with your candles, come on over to the Tim Dillon Show.
Why are you wearing sunglasses?
I'm a venture capitalist right now. Okay. I've moved into that. I appreciate comics and comedy, but I'm now realizing that my strongest attribute has always been I have a keen eye for the market. I'm investing and I'm building businesses. So if you want to build businesses, we can build businesses. But I'm just bored with entertainment. I'm in a different sphere.
Okay.
I put myself in a different space.
After you just bought stock in movie theaters today.
AMC movie theaters, I went in heavy and hold the line. And we are showing that the institutional Wall Street and the big money players, that we are wrestling back a little power back.
Explain this. Give me some context.
Hurting my eyes.
I know. Yeah. Well, it was hurting my views.
On Reddit, there's something called Wall Street Bets on Reddit, and it is a it's a Reddit where people discuss stock prices.
Okay.
Everybody on that Reddit, they were talking about they went into GameStop because all these big hedge funds short stocks like GameStop.
Can I be an idiot? Yeah. Can you explain to me what a hedge fund? I've tried to date men that are hedge fund managers. I know that's something.
It's just a lot of rich people that pool their money together.
That's a person you want to marry, but what is a hedge fund?
It's a lot of high net worth individuals. It's an investment vehicle for high net worth individuals that pool their money together, and then somebody obviously manages that money and invests.
And invests it. So
correct.
It's not like a 401k.
No. Okay. No, I mean, everyone could have a 401k. So you could work at a place and have a 401k a week later.
I just still don't know what a hedge fund is. You just explained it and I'm more confused.
It's a fund for very wealthy people that want to make a lot of money.
Okay.
A lot of these hedge funds shorted stocks like GameStop because GameStop.
Shorted stocks. What does that mean?
Betting that it will fail. Betting that it's not going to be valuable.
Because no one's going to go into
all of that
because
stuff.
Of the Amazon.
AMC movie theaters.
Killed the business.
All of these things, right?
Okay.
So what people on Wall Street Bet started to do is said, hey, wouldn't it be fun if we started buying these stocks so that the people that shorted them had to then cover their bets? Because if you're betting on a stock to fail and it doesn't fail, you got to cover the short, right? So it's actually, they forced GameStop up. My producer, Ben, knows how much?
It went from like $4 to, I think it peaked around like $4.90.
Right. So from $4 to $490 a share.
And now it's like $2.20.
So it's like
a prank.
It's a prank, but it's also like basically it's saying you guys have manipulated the market for a very long time.
Yeah.
You've artificially inflated the price of things. You have, played this game. Now we have the information. People on Reddit have the information. We have things like Robinhood and these apps that allow you to trade stocks. Why not? Why not get into the game? Why can't regular people get into the game in the same way that all these institutional Wall Street guys have been in the game forever?
Right.
And then, of course, as soon as that started happening, the government pressured Robinhood, the app everyone was trading on, and then I'm sure they had other pressure coming from other people, and they stopped trading today on those stocks, right? On GameStop, on AMC.
Yeah, Robinhood. You couldn't do GME, AMC, or Nokia.
Right, so the three companies that people were pushing, they said you cannot trade on those companies, which is insane.
Insane.
Seemingly illegal because nobody was doing anything wrong.
Correct.
Nobody was doing anything illegal. The SEC is not investigating any of those companies. There's no reason to really freeze trading. So Robinhood has now come out and said, we're going to open limited trading tomorrow and watch it, which still seems sus. Mm-hmm. But, so again, it's like this is what happens when you try to get a seat at the big boy table. And this is kind of a movement that started on Reddit that is now becoming somewhat powerful and distressing, and it's costing a lot of these hedge fund guys money. So I got in for, a decent amount of money.
This just feels
crazy.
Like chaos. Like, I just
it's
feel
chaos.
Like it's chaos. Like, I feel like we're
listen,
in chaos.
Listen, it's chaos.
Like, they hacked the stock market.
Yeah, it's chaos, and they want a seat at the table, and they know that they're not going to get a seat at the table like this, but they also know that this can leave some egg on the faces of very wealthy people, and why not? That's the real question. Why not? Even Ben Shapiro, who defends the markets and capitalism and everything, came out and said, you'd have to have a heart of stone not to laugh at what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, most people are sitting back and going, Now, of course, there's the argument against it saying that it completely turns the stock market into a casino and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
However,
was it ever not a casino? It was always a...
People in this country, especially after this quarantine, after being told they can't work, being told they had to shutter their businesses, not getting any support from the government, are like, hey, and then watching the stock market just keep going up, not reflecting any of the reality on the ground. The stock market keeps going up, keeps going up. All these people are without jobs. Why not?
Rich people getting richer.
Why would they not do this? And I'm happy to be a part of it. Like, why?
Would this have happened without the pandemic?
I don't think so. It might have. It certainly could have.
Like, because I do feel like we've, you know, all gone into a feral state of self-preservation, every man for himself.
Right.
Like, I feel like we've just...
Well, you have people on Reddit that are showing you how much they made and going, I can help my mother who has Lyme disease now. Like, now I can help somebody that didn't have the money.
Yep.
Now I can write my mother a check, pay for my sister's
Lyme
disease.
Is this what the redistribution of power and wealth looks like? Is it happening?
I mean, it was until they shut it down.
Who's they?
The government.
SEC, but who? Like, who's
Robinhood
the
person? Robinhood app, the CEO of Robinhood, decided to.
And by who influenced that person?
Guarantees who? People from the Biden administration and big money players on Wall Street.
That's wildly... Are we Russia? That's wildly corrupt, right?
We're living in a mafia criminal state. I've been quite open about this. I mean, these are the oligarchs.
Yes.
This is an oligarchy. Oligarchs are, you know, people that control vast industries.
Mm-hmm.
There's a handful of them,
mm-hmm.
and they have a tremendous amount of power. And those are the people that are pressuring the CEO of Robinhood, himself a billionaire.
Mm.
These are his friends. These are the people he sees at the parties. These are the guys he hangs out with in the Hamptons and Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people who his kids are going to go to school with their kids.
I think
and they're picking up the phone going, hey, man, what's going on here?
People forget that. The only thing I really know about in terms of like making laws and stuff in government is like animal abuse stuff. And when you go in there and try to pass an animal bill and you're like, oh, we got it. This is abuse. Someone's like, well, that's my friend's has an elephant and I don't want to. It's all just...
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
So that's what people are saying. My friend has an elephant fund that's getting really screwed because a bunch of your people are fucking with us.
Mm.
So please stop that. Now, tomorrow, we're all waiting. We're holding the line. It's called hold. I don't know when this comes out.
What
probably
is
3 months.
Yeah, what is the hold?
But, I mean, I know the schedule of this podcast. Like, she records and releases it in 4.5 months.
I'm sorry we try to add some production value to our podcast. I'm sorry.
I apologize. Look like that's why people like podcasts.
I'm sorry it doesn't look
value.
Like a high school theater production.
Whenever somebody recommends a podcast, they go, what? You got to listen to this. The production value is amazing. Do you see the lighting?
Yeah, you and Alex Jones could use a little more lighting, to be honest.
Well, pay for it. Let's see what happens. I think it'll be very interesting to see what happens tomorrow morning when the market opens. Does AMC fly? And we're hoping it does. We hope GameStop flies.
And then you're going to sell?
Line.
And then you're going to sell?
No, we're going to hold. I think the game here is to buy and hold and force their feet to the fire.
Yeah.
I may sell. No, I'm kidding.
This is chaos.
I'm not going to sell. I'm going to hold. Everyone should hold. That's what it's about.
I've known you for about a year now. This is the happiest I've ever seen you.
Well, it's exciting.
I mean, this is
nothing's exciting anymore because everything. Even though the
we've
news
watched
is,
all the porn.
Even though the news is so horrible, it's boring. It's like you turn the news, you're like everyone's dead and dying.
Well,
like,
we're so desensitized. Right. Yeah.
So this is something that's actually happening where you're like, oh, I can get involved. I can check my thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's kind of like cool. An older a boomer video game.
No, this is for young people.
Mm.
This is for young people that are sick of a system
mm-hmm.
that doesn't really have, they don't have any power.
Yeah.
They don't have a stake. They don't have a seat at the table.
Will anything permanently change after this?
They feel like they have skin in the game. Not for the good. I think probably they'll limit people's ability to trade. They'll limit all these things. They'll say you got to have a certain amount of money to trade. They will try to enforce compliance in any way they can. Are they able to do it? I don't know. Guys like Dave Portnoy have been out there saying this is, hold the line, don't sell,
mm-hmm.
force these guys feet to the fire because what they're doing is illegal. You can't shut down trading of publicly traded stock if it's not being investigated. They're doing that to protect the interest of big money players. It's wrong.
Yeah.
And guys like Portnoy, to his credit, have come out and said that. And when I leave here, we're interviewing the head of Wall Street Bets, the guy who runs the Reddit where all this stuff started happening. But this is a good. I think it's a good. I think anyone defending this
uh-huh.
defending the Wall Street side of it publicly has been to Jeffrey Epstein's island, and there's photos of it, and they got an envelope this morning with a photo of them and Ghislaine Maxwell, and then they started to go, well, the market must function in a way that we, you know. But I mean, why not let the little guy go out and make a little money and force these, you know, whales to cough up some money? What? There's nothing wrong with that.
Wild.
And I know people are going to go, well, it just turns the market into a casino. And like, you don't really believe that AMC is valuable, and you don't really believe that this is GameStop's valuable. And it's like, hey, number one, do you want to start really digging deep on all the money that's been made in the market? And can we really assess how serious people were about mm-hmm. what they believed and didn't believe at the time they made trades? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it's like, this is legal. It's above board. And I'm for it. And that's why I consider myself now a venture capitalist, and I will continue to raise capital and allocate it in the way that I see fit.
Tim, we've been through a lot together in this quarantine.
Yes, it's been wild.
We trauma bonded in the beginning.
Yes.
And I do want us to address the fact that we got in a fight the other day.
We did, because I canceled the podcast.
We got in a real fight.
I canceled the podcast.
So
go look at Elise.
Do
a walkthrough.
He was due to come to the podcast on Sunday.
Yes.
His call time was 10. At 10:15, he texted me and said, I can't make it. I have 10 people waiting here.
I didn't realize that. See, that's what I didn't realize.
Right.
And that's what I apologize.
Five people.
And to the staff. I had no idea that the podcast was the filming of a movie. Like, I thought it was just a producer and you.
You think I know how to work any of this equipment?
Yeah.
You think, what is this?
Yeah, I don't, I just.
I'm not Rick Glassman. What do you think this is?
I just
This is a real production.
I know, but why?
Why?
You know, you don't need all these people. And I don't want to take any of their jobs away, because they're all working very hard. They're all on their phone and everything. And I know how hard they all work and how essential they all are.
It's called fake business.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is called. But I didn't realize that. Had I realized that, I would have rescheduled. But that walkthrough was like the only time that, like, we got the tenants out. Mm-hmm. You can do the walkthrough.
But what happened? Because we had we are so on the same page all the time. We had like a real fight. Like, into our inner child.
I think, I think the only thing I said that was even slightly, was I said, it's not Two Broke Girls, it's a podcast. And then you got angry at that. It was such a light touch of a thing. And you got very angry.
I lost my temper. It doesn't happen a lot.
And I was just, it was a fun little thing to say.
It was, no, but it wasn't like, because it fascinates me when comedians, because we're so rough with each other,
right,
when you go too far. Like, when someone crosses
I didn't know that
line.
Was good. There's always going to be this unspoken thing between old Hollywood and young Hollywood. And that's what's happening here.
And I'm old Hollywood.
Yeah, you're a legend.
By the way, you're not any Hollywood.
I'm young internet.
Young Hollywood. You've never been Hollywood.
But that is Hollywood.
No,
now.
It's young internet.
No, but that is
Hollywood.
No, Hollywood
still
now.
Exists.
No, cares about your friends like Sandra Bullock. No one cares about them.
I'm just saying.
No one cares.
The thing where she wore the blindfold in the canoe got 50 million views more than
4 years ago.
I'm just saying.
Bird Box. You're bringing up Bird Box. The horror movie on Netflix? I mean, this is what you're...
But here's the difference.
What about Perfect Strangers? That was fun, too. I'm 17 years old. I'm a 17-year-old TikToker.
Why do you want to be the future Kevin Spacey? Stop hanging out with these young people, Tim. I am trying to protect you from future cancellation.
I understand you want this to be a Sunset Boulevard where you're at the top of a stairwell and you're like, with one look, I'll do a multicam. I understand that. We will have Taylor Tomlinson getting in fun little skirmishes with people at a restaurant. Will be laughter. We pump in the people watching this show's brains have been broken.
The reason I need you to come early is because we shoot this on film.
Yeah, well, it's beautiful. And I respect that. We all know that you put a lot into everything you do. And I respect that.
I try too hard with the podcast. No,
but you put a lot into it, and that's
too
okay.
Much.
That's okay.
I overthink it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't even know if I'm good at podcasting. That's the other thing.
I think you are, but... It's a very different thing. Like, you have celebrities on and you prepare and you do all this stuff. And I respect that. But it's like, what we do, it's just a little
different. Because I'm insecure, Tim. I don't have the white man thing of I'm just like, who wouldn't want to hear me talk for 3 hours about anything? Like, I'm not allowed to be boring. I have to be twice as good to get half as much respect.
Okay.
You disagree?
Maybe.
Well, how so?
I don't know. You have to be twice as good.
I mean, I just
to get half as much respect.
I just mean, God, you guys.
Is that a line from like a country song?
You guys can definitely
working 9 to 5. Nobody listening because I'm a woman. Is that true?
I'm just saying. Think about it. I was thinking about this the other day because I was like, how long am I going to do this podcast? Is there any proof in history that people want to listen to women talk?
Well, if
for three hours a week,
is it always their fault? Is it always the people's fault?
Has there ever been a famous female radio host? Terry Gross? Like, who's the who?
I mean, I'm trying to think.
Women aren't famous, for their soothing voices.
What about half the country that are women that are not listening to those women?
Mm-hmm. That's great. Agree.
I mean, I like women. I listen to them.
I'm just saying, in the history of our entertainment,
right. Yes.
Who has been the female radio host? Like, because you talk about, Howard Stern and whose footsteps you're following.
Well, there are big DJs, people like Angie Martinez on Hot 97.
Yeah.
There are people.
Downtown Julie Brown.
Yeah, there are
Kennedy.
Yeah, there are people.
But who? But we're digging.
Yeah, but who? I'm trying to assign blame for that. I can't assign blame.
You're
saying it where we then, now that we've established that, we have to assign blame.
Yeah.
And we have to go, well, what? Well, who is at fault for this?
Toxic masculinity. Let's blame that.
Is it that?
It works.
Well,
no.
But then there's half the country's women.
No, I agree.
Right.
I was joking, but like when people are like, put out more, like do 3 shows a week like Joe does. I'm like, I feel like I'm good in small doses.
Right. But that's your own internal thing.
It might be my insecurity.
It's your internal thing. I mean, if I had guests, my show would be destroyed.
How?
Because by them, I don't have an interest in talking to Hillary Duff. I'm sure she's a lovely person. I don't know
By the way, she doesn't have an interest in talking to you.
Great. And we're good. We're good. See, this is the thing with you. You're like, Hollywood doesn't care. And I'm like, we don't care. Me and my friends don't care. It's just a reality. We don't care.
Yeah.
None of us want to walk into a writer's room with people that couldn't make it as stand-ups and hear that our jokes aren't funny enough or they need to be more sensitive or more whatever.
Yeah.
And then go to a network and have a network tell us this and then have it's got to go through sales and advertising and lawyers and legal.
Yeah.
We don't need any of that.
I mean, that'll go
away. We really don't need any of that.
It's so true. I mean, I think the thing that we like of the Hollywood is dead argument, I'm the first one to sort of make that argument. I mean, I guess I'm just like naive to a fault in that I still like Broadway and want to make a film. Like I still have that.
Hollywood's dead. I would never say like Hollywood's
like,
dead.
Like I still have a love of the art.
If you're a comedian.
Yeah.
Going online and building a fan base
it
makes a hell of a lot more sense than playing this game here.
Mm-hmm.
As a comedian, if you're 19 with a six pack and you're hot, get on Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Get on one of those shows.
Yeah.
I'm 36.
Yeah.
I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to these showrunners. I don't want to talk to people that I wrote on the roast of Snoop. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. So it's like, you know, and good.
I feel attacked.
And no, it's not you. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's like,
I'm
tired.
TV shows are like, you take a really talented, funny person with a lot of heat, you put them in a room with a bunch of people that are way less talented than they are,
right?
Dilute their vision, sanitize them, and it's never as good. But so, is there never going to be another Seinfeld? There's never going to be another.
There will not from me. There might be another
Mad About
Seinfeld.
You. There's never going to be another.
No,
you know,
because
Roseanne.
They are sitcoms that don't exist anymore. No one wants to watch them anymore. No one cares. Curb is a great show, right?
I mean, The Ranch is huge on Netflix, but okay.
But for who?
I'm just, the
do
numbers
you know
are
who
big.
Watches The Ranch? Do you know the types of people?
The same people that listen to your podcast.
No, they don't.
It's a very right show.
No, the people that watch The Ranch are mongoloids. They're absolute orbs of flesh. They get home from Whataburger. They have blue hands and toes from circulation problems. They collapse on a couch and they just watch The Ranch. Good. There should be something for them. I'm not trying to steal that audience. I'm not trying to steal the audience of the Practical Jokers where 10 years later they still think it's a prank. Oh, look at, they really got each other. No, they didn't, dummy. Like, I don't want, those people can go be those people.
Yeah.
God bless them. I love the Jokers, but, you know, I don't want a fan base of brain dead, zombies.
And I think for me, you're making me realize how insecure I am because it's like podcasts, it's like there's nothing to protect you, you know, like if you're
right.
on a show you can be like, you know, it's a little bit like you can blame like as well as a you can blame
right.
other people. Podcasts, you take all the blame.
Yeah.
And I just am so afraid of the internet because they turn on people so fast.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Sure. Like, sometimes people's fan bases turn on them, you know?
Well, there's nothing you could do about that. People could say whatever they want about you, and people, you know, can turn on you or can like you, and it's, you know. But at the end of the day,
is this sustainable?
Networks,
is this all sustainable?
Are networks sustainable? Do you think they can't turn on you? Mm-hmm. You think Netflix can't turn on you? You think, you know, how many instances have we seen?
Well, no, Hollywood is forgiving to a fault. You can fail for so many times
depends
in Hollywood, and they will keep writing
depends
you checks.
Depends who you are. Like, you worked your ass off, but you mm-hmm. also were like a chosen person. Yeah. You got chosen. Now, you worked for it, but you got to realize you were a handful of people that were chosen. It's like, that's kind of what it is. Now, you worked your ass off for it, but at the end of the day, it's like, if you're not chosen, mm-hmm. I went out with a pilot, didn't work. I went out, had Adam McKay producing something.
Because you didn't
something.
Have me involved.
Didn't work. Maybe that's the case. How many times am I supposed to go through that? 15, 20, mm-hmm. 30? Or am I, and live on the street while I do that? Like, why would I do that when I have all the means mm-hmm. to entertain people at my disposal?
But you don't want to act or, do, you just
we
don't
all
want
do.
To.
We all do, but it's not possible. It's not possible because at the end of the day,
everyone I have called about to set up a show with you wants to do it and movie.
I understand that, but that's the
shooting yourself in the foot.
And I appreciate it. No, if they want to do it, let's do it, and then we'll get to the end where they go, we thank you and we really appreciate this. We're not putting it on the air like
we're
they do
cutting
all,
you out
all
of the
yeah.
entire. We're recasting
like do
you with
time.
We're recasting you with
go,
Seth Rogen.
Well, I'm glad I spent 16 months doing this. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. I don't want to devote.
Let me ask you a question, which is like,
now Joe Rogan was the one who kind of gave me this advice. Mm-hmm. Now I know you're saying, oh, he's not that successful, and that's I get it.
Joe
I
Rogan,
get
here's
it.
What, but here's
he's
what we
not
have to,
famous. He has no money.
But here's what we got to remember about Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan was famous from network television first.
Sure.
Joe Rogan is like he
sure.
was famous from
how
Fear
many
Factor.
People
you got? He had a MMA.
How's the rest of the cast in news radio doing?
I'm just saying, Joe was famous before he started a podcast.
Your Honor, I rest, the state rests.
Can we stop pretending that Joe was like an open micer when he started his
he
podcast?
Wasn't, but
he was a household name when he started his podcast.
Do you think his podcast was what made him the name he is now, though?
Yes, of right. course. But right. he was famous when he started.
Would it have made more sense for him to just try to get sitcoms on the air every year?
No, back then right. it was different. But here's my question for you.
Yes.
As someone who is like super naive and probably dumb and I bang my head against the wall, I stay
Let's,
in relationships.
That is, none of that is true.
I stay in relationships longer than I should. I'm dumb, I'm naive, tell me I'm wrong. But Hollywood is course correcting. They just want to do what makes them money. They're a dumb business. They're
right.
dumb. They're not
right.
smart people.
Right.
You know, they're not making Black Panther 2 because they want to help equality and Black Lives
Matter.
They're doing it because it made money.
Right.
So as soon as they see what makes money, they will pivot and start changing. But
totally agree.
You guys are just so pissed off at Hollywood that you're just like burn it all fucking down.
I'm not pissed off.
Because you hurt my feelings 5 years ago.
I'm not pissed off, but I'm also like, what's the show that I really see on TV that I want to be a part of?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see any.
Interesting.
I don't see any shows where I go, man, like there's shows I like, mm-hmm. like Succession and things
yeah.
like that I love,
You'd
right?
Be amazing.
That are great shows. But then I'm like, okay, where are the, who's blowing up from TV shows right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
Who's getting a real fan base as a comedian from a TV show at the moment?
Interesting.
I don't see anybody.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people making a living online. I see a lot of people getting fans online. Mm-hmm. I don't see anybody right now making... I know people with TV shows that are broke.
Right.
And I know them and they can't sell tickets.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't pay the way it used to.
It doesn't mean what it used to.
Well, for a stand-up comedian, if you're not playing yourself, you're not... gonna be able to move tickets. You know, it's like
right.
Billy Gardell played a character
right.
in that Mike and Molly show. He should have played Billy Gardell. You'd have to play Tim
right.
Dillon.
Yeah, and listen, I think maybe in a few years, I'm not against that. I save some money. We make another run at development. But mm-hmm. like at the moment, I don't see the reason for it. That's why I'm getting out of LA because
yep.
like
going to Austin.
I'm going to Austin,
Tell
Texas.
Me about it. Well, how did this, you did made this decision without me?
Well, I made it in a 24-hour span of time because I called some very smart people
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them are out. And a lot of them are going, and they're all primarily internet people. And they're all going, we don't need to be here. The response to Elon Musk leaving the state can't be fuck Elon Musk, which is what
Gavin Newsom. Is Elon going to...
Correct.
Okay.
Gavin Newsom and the government here is basically like, yeah, fuck him. So if you're going to say fuck him, you're going to say fuck me. You're going to say fuck everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is it costs an exorbitant amount of money to live here.
Yeah.
The climate for entrepreneurs is horrible. The climate for people to live is getting worse every year.
Mm-hmm.
And you're spending a lot of money. And traditional Hollywood is not the bread and butter of anyone I know anymore.
I think we can all agree that my mental health is peaking. Tip top shape.
Peaking?
I think we can all say that I won mental health.
The peak of which mountain?
I think we can all agree that no one's mental health is more healthy than mine.
I agree with that. You wrote a book about it. Did you use BetterHelp?
I did not. You know, BetterHelp, when we read these ads, I get so annoyed because I just get frustrated that I didn't have this when I was a teenager.
Can you just rewrite your book as a BetterHelp ad?
I mean, honestly, I love BetterHelp. You guys should subscribe to it, but I worry that my book becomes obsolete if you guys start using BetterHelp.
Yeah, truly.
This is how much I believe in BetterHelp. I'm losing money on my book sales, driving you to BetterHelp.
Which is difficult as a licensed professional. BetterHelp is great because it matches you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating under 48 hours. And here's a fun fact. You can do it wherever you want because it's online.
Yeah.
So you can do it like drive through of a Jack in the Box. Hold up the line. Get some help.
Get therapy while driving through Jack in the Box?
Yeah, great tacos. Go for it.
I think if somebody is getting therapy from BetterHelp while driving through Jack in the Box, they're good. They don't need a therapist. They know they have strong boundaries. They know what they need. They know who they are. They know their purpose in life.
Maybe they just want to chat. No. It's not self-help.
It's it's a wild time to drive down to a therapist. I don't want to go to a therapist right now and like get COVID in the waiting room.
Yeah. I want to talk to robot therapists on the computer. Real people that are talking to me through the computer. And the best thing about it is not only do they offer, but it is literally more affordable than traditional counseling. Did you know that?
Yeah. Well, traditional therapy is so exorbitant, it's like criminal.
Yeah, but not
this is
help.
What it should cost. You know what I'm saying?
And the response time, 48 hours?
Therapists have the gall.
Who responds in 48
therapists
hours?
Therapists have the gall. Think about this. Therapists have the gall to charge someone who is suffering. I am suffering. I have anxiety disorders. I am depression. Great. Come see me. I'm going to charge you $300 for 45 minutes. Like, you're making me sicker with your practice.
Yeah. We shouldn't charge sick people anything.
Yeah.
You ever been to a movie theater? Criminal. I'm already sad. I want to watch this movie. Visit BetterHelp.com/Whitney. That's Better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
I'm available.
Special offer for good for you listeners. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Whitney.
Love it. You know, I feel like I've been clear about this. My first stand-up special, I talked about balls. My second stand-up special I talked about. I've been talking about balls for 15 years.
So you also have built a career on balls, much like Manscaped.
But I have been asking, and Manscaped listened. We got it. You guys got to pull it together. The balls are a mess. You want us to put our heads down there, our tongues down there, but you're not making it very welcoming. Help us.
You're not a cat. Your tongue's not that rough.
You got to manscape yourself. You got to manscape yourself.
Trim, clean up, shave, deodorize, moisturize.
But also, yes, but only with Manscaped.
They offer all those things.
No, I've seen guys try to do it on their own with the hotel razor. Looks like herpes. They don't know how to shave against the grain, with the grain, whatever it is. I don't know what I'm looking at here. Like, you have to there's a certain way to shave.
Yeah, and it is not with a hotel razor. That's for sure.
Yeah, the pubes down there are coarse.
If you go to Wash Away, you take your little towel, your little white towel, go to Wash Away all your little pube splinters, and it's covered in blood. Something's wrong.
The days are over. Your glory days are over, guys. Your balls are no longer allowed to smell like scallops. They're no longer allowed to smell like ceviche. They're no longer allowed to have weird red bumps. Like, those days are over. Women have options now. We have dating apps. We can, we're no longer living in villages where there's two options for suitors. Okay? We have other options now. Get your dick in order.
And you
make those balls lickable, suckable. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. So the performance package comes with the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, the weed whacker, the ear and nose hair trimmer, performance boxers brief, and a travel bag, all of which very nice.
This is also just an excellent gift. The guy that I'm dating has started pilfering my Manscaped stuff that we keep here. because they sponsor us, he starts like stealing it. Guys love it.
Oh, he's a thief.
He's a thief, yes.
Great. Not a red flag. What are you holding up there?
You know what else? Here. It's a great...
Ball wipes.
It's a great gift. Great gift.
Try one out.
Okay. These are ball wipes. Honestly, this is the least you can do, guys. This is literally the least.
You can carry those in your pocket. Mm-hmm. Just refresh.
Ooh. Clean your balls with this.
Yeah. You wipe your fingers off after hot wings.
Honestly.
Why not just go right down to the balls and do them too?
Thank you. I don't think you guys are not flexible enough to smell your own balls. I get it. But I'm telling you, they're putrid. They're swampy. They're chowdery. It's dank. These wipes, solved.
This ad is about building confidence.
Mm-hmm.
The bundle also comes with a crop preserver, ball deodorant, which we have. Look at this ball deodorant.
Ooh, yes.
Try that out.
I love.
Look, there's even instructions. It's first one, take a shower. Great. Men don't know. Then towel off. It tells you to dry off. Every instruction a man needs is on this bottle.
No excuses. You have absolutely no excuse anymore. Because a lot of guys are like, well, I don't want to use that. It's a girly product. It's a this, that. You have no excuse anymore.
I mean, what else? Other than putting a map to your own bathroom on there, they've helped you out completely.
There's no excuses anymore. Manscaped. You guys are nailing it. Thank you, Manscaped.
Yeah, you get 20% off.
You guys have rescued my chin.
Look at this. This is a little newspaper they send you so you can lay it down and all your little hairs get caught on it. So you don't have to sweep your floor up.
Oh, nice. Telling you that balls look like elephant ears. I mean, why do they look so old?
How manly is that?
You guys got to put lotion on them. You got to take care of them. You got to protect them.
What? How manly is this? You don't even read the news? You just groom over top of it? You just shave your pubes off over the news?
Love. Love.
20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code Whitney. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code Whitney. Thanks, Manscaped, for making our winter wieners look so good.
Did you entertain going back to New York?
No. No. When you leave New York, you're done.
Yeah, really?
Joan Didion, the whole thing.
Oh.
Goodbye to all that. When you're done, you're done.
You're done, you're done.
When you're done, you're done.
So true.
When you're done with New York, you're done. And I know it because I go back and I go, never.
Can't do it the way
again.
I used to.
Never again. Doesn't mean.
I can't go to the grocery store every day.
Yeah. It's also like I've always considered myself a person who, like, I'm a New Yorker. I love New York. But I also, there's a strain of New Yorker, a new strain.
No, stop saying new strain.
There's a strain of New Yorker that's very annoying and their world seems very small. You know, Giannis Pappas, who I love, very funny comedian, but he was in LA and I was like, I drove him from like Palm Springs up to the mountains and he's like, I can't believe like it gets so much colder up here. And I'm like, oh, you're an idiot. Like people from New York like are morons. Some of them, they like don't understand anything that goes on outside
Andrew
of
Andrew Schultz can
radius.
Hardly drive.
Yeah,
when Andrew comes out here, he can't like figure out how to function.
New York, man.
But
I will say. It's a small bubble. It's the greatest city in the world, but it's like, guys, enough.
I just am worried. As someone that is, my mother is from Texas. A place called Sherman, Texas, near Fort Worth. I've spent a lot of time in Texas.
Yes.
And I've spent a lot of time with you. And
right. I understand that.
As someone that grew up in New York, you're going to, it's going to be a sobering experience for you.
I'm going to be in LA. I'm going to travel.
I know, but you in Austin it's, you're going to be hot. You're going to be sunburned. You're going to be grumpy. You're going to be.
I'm going to be that here.
Annoyed.
I'm going to be miserable here.
Okay.
I'm going to be miserable wherever I live.
I mean,
that's part of the deal.
Wherever you go, I go, I'm going to be miserable.
I'm just going to save money. And like, listen, I'm going to be able to get on a plane, go to New York, get on a plane, go to LA.
Okay.
Get on a plane, hopefully go to London, wherever I want to go.
But you know that Austin, it's still in Texas.
Yeah.
You are aware of that. You know that, I mean, as a man who will only eat with like gilded forks and you know you'll be eating out of food trucks
in
Austin.
No. The rich are there.
Baby, that's Dallas. You should be going. I think
you have a point.
You should be in Dallas.
I will say
you're going to Austin.
I'm going 40 minutes out of Austin by a lake.
You're
going
to a place that is like tries to be poor on purpose because it's hip.
But I'm not going to go near Austin. I'm going to be I'm in the woods. I'm in the woods.
Okay.
I'm like, get on
this
a car.
This doesn't feel mentally healthy. You alone in the woods
minutes.
Is not a good thing. You alone with your own thoughts.
I'm not saying the FBI won't be keeping tabs.
I don't think this is good. I don't think, I don't like this. You need to be around people. When you're left to your own devices with someone that you pay
people.
Enabling you, I think I'm worried.
I will be, should I pay 10 to enable? That's the problem. I don't pay 25 people to enable me. I think it's a great move. I think it's going to be the move for comedy. I
agree.
Yeah.
Press me.
I really believe
that. I will be there.
I really believe
if
that.
Joe's opening that, if Rogan's opening that club, I will be there. I'll have a place there. But it's just like, are you thinking about doing this? Like, since we all don't have to live where we think we had to live before, are you? Is this like permanent? Or are you like, I'm going to do this for 6 months?
Hey man, I don't know what in life is permanent.
Never say.
So
hey,
I don't know if in 3 to 5 years, maybe I'm like, I don't want to do a podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I want to make enough and save enough money.
Yeah.
To, and I can't do it in this state. They want all your money here.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, I don't know. It's kind of shitty. That's the reason, but it's like, it really is.
But
and
when
it,
you're renting, you're not, you know what I'm saying? For 6 months, you're not buying, you're renting.
Yeah, I'm renting for 6 months, then looking around Austin and then just settling down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want my base to be in a state where I'm not being robbed.
Yeah.
And then I can go all over the country and do whatever I want.
It's fucked up. I mean, it is.
I mean, listen, if you were paying these kind of taxes, but you were like, you know, California's an idyllic paradise. Yeah. There's no homeless. Everybody's happy. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting really hit over the head, but you know what? Things are working out. They can't get a vaccine to people. People are waiting outside the Forum like they're waiting for Billie Eilish concerts to get a syringe. This is an embarrassment. It's become kind of an embarrassment.
Is California just too big to be governed?
It's too big to be governed. It's a country.
What happened?
Newsom's just out of touch. He's in a feet wine merchant who's out of touch. This guy owns vineyards.
Am I a conspiracy theorist that I think a lot of the decisions he makes is just to spite his ex, Kimberly Guilfoyle?
Yeah,
I feel like they're all just in some weird kinky fight.
It's a weird.
He just keeps getting more progressive just to like piss her off. Like, I feel like we're. I feel like it's like War of the Roses and we're in between this like toxic relationship.
At the end of the day, it's like, I just want to go somewhere where I can just start to think about retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 36. It's time to start thinking about wrapping it up.
It's just such a hard thing to wrap my head around that like this business is over.
I know.
Isn't it wild?
But I think it's better to wrap your head around that than your car around a tree. Like many of the people that stay in this town are just, they're going to be crazy people.
Can we talk about the my mental deterioration over the past 8 months?
It's been frightening.
It's a little alarming.
Frightening. It's been wild to watch for a lot of us.
It's been hard. It's, you know, comedians, like, we are designed to get up and perform.
Yes.
Us not performing for 9 months, like 9 months ago, we were like, this is going to be a couple months. I feel like...
we're in the new normal.
I feel like this has, like, changed my brain.
Yes. Well, you know, I think that you're going through a real... You're processing a lot of things. You're like, oh, the life I thought was here is not here.
Yeah.
And it's not anywhere. It's not in Austin. It's nowhere.
Yeah.
The life before this is, it's going to be like 9/11, where it's like every time you got on a plane afterwards, you're like, after this, everything kind of changes. Nothing's going to go that back to, like, I think things will go back to normal eventually, but you're still going to be sitting somewhere and somebody's going to go, and you're going to go. Like, it's going to be different.
Like,
travel is going to be different. Going around the world is going to be different. Touring is going to be different. Productions are going to be different. Comedy is going to be different.
Here's what I'll say about the comedy stuff, though. Like, I'm booking outdoor tours. Like,
sure.
Like, here's my problem. Comedians are, I think we're kind of standing in our own way a little bit in terms of shows, because we want everything to be the way that it was. Like, comedians will complain about fucking anything, do you know? So it's like, these outdoor shows are totally working. It's totally doable. Why?
In the spring and summer.
Yeah, but I'm just... We did San Francisco in November outside. There were heating lamps. It was fine. Like,
okay.
I think maybe it's because I came up in L.A. And in L.A., you do bowling alleys. I was doing, like, Chipotle's and fucking... we used to do stand-up shows at Jumbo's Clown Room, which was like a strip club with dwarves and shit. Like, I'm used to doing shows in shitty outdoor craziness.
Yeah,
like, you New York club comics, you're like, I need a club. I need it to be inside. I need the ceilings to be low. Like... Why can't
well, that's the best way. That's the highest form of the art of stand-up comedy is a small club, right? I mean, sure, we'll do outdoor shows if you have to, but nobody wants to do that.
Yeah.
But what are we going to do? Just live outside? You know what I mean? Like, if we can't do indoor comedy, what can we do inside? Yeah. Like,
but why can't we adapt? Why can't we adapt? Why are we so bratty? And
because
like,
because
we're such babies.
Well, it's not that we're babies.
We have to do it the way we always did it.
It's not even that. It's just that, like, most outdoor things are... Not
horrendous.
Ideal. They're not ideal.
Look, here's the thing, though. When I went and did the outdoor shows with cars, it was very weird for the first, like, 5 minutes. It was like they're honking. I was like, this is awful. I hate
but
this.
But I don't want to.
5 minutes in, I was fucking like, I get it. Okay, I know what
to do. Yeah, but we have evolved. It's called podcasting. I don't want to perform for cars. I can just be funny for an hour or 2 hours a week.
Well, your fan base doesn't have cars.
I'm sorry my fan base isn't my other celebrity friends. I apologize. You know, I apologize. Jennifer Aniston and Sandra. Who are these people? It's over. It's over,
well,
ladies.
Explain to me TikTok. Is TikTok real?
Yeah.
Benton makes a very good point. People have 8 million followers on TikTok. The same person will have like 100,000 on Instagram. What's happening?
Because everybody on Instagram is an old witch, like your friends. And on TikTok, everybody's just hot as fuck, and we don't care. And we don't care about old people and what they're about. Like, we're about positivity mm-hmm. and light mm-hmm. and show and being healthy and showing our showing our dicks. That's what we're about. So I'm not upset at old school people.
What is the most important
like
platform
you
right now?
Dan Rather.
According to you.
I don't mind that. What is the most important platform right now? I'm on Clubhouse all the time.
Okay.
We're talking with other venture capitalist people in the business.
Do y'all know about Clubhouse?
Clubhouse is where it's at. That's where I am, and people call. I do an investment advice every night on there. I did investment advice last night.
Really?
I give out investment advice to people.
Interesting.
Correct.
Is that the future?
For me as
Clubhouse?
An investor, yes.
Clubhouse.
I think so.
Is Clubhouse going to replace?
Ask me investment advice right now. I'll give it to you for free.
Should I invest in the rowing machine, Hydro? It's Peloton, but it's a rowing machine.
Whatever you do, you have to remember that kindness is strength.
I'm sorry?
Kindness is strength.
I'm not following.
Speed. Do you understand?
Yep. Nope.
Well, I guess I can lead a horse to water. So what I'm just saying is, like, I give advice that you need to know a little bit about the market to even get.
I don't know. I am, like, honestly, I like to be really transparent with that. I do not understand how the stock market works.
I think you want to invest your money. Mm-hmm. That's what I tell people to do. That's kind of the linchpin of my advice.
Is
the
Clubhouse going to start being moderated? That's the big thing.
By who?
Like, I mean, is somebody going to come in and say, because it's going to go full queue any minute now.
No, it's not.
You don't think?
I don't think so.
Can you explain to me QAnon for our fans? Since it's
4 months late. I love this. This is when you know you're on like an elderly person's podcast. They're like, can you explain to me QAnon and how did Trump get elected?
No, I want to, because I don't like to talk about politics. I like to talk about things
after. QAnon's a batshit conspiracy.
But I'm saying,
theory.
I like to talk about things after the dust has settled, because I don't like to be in the rigmarole.
No, why be riding the wave?
I don't want to be in the drama. I don't like being relevant.
Agreed.
I don't like being relevant. I like going, that's all
outside.
Done. You guys can scuffle, and then I'm going to talk about this later. But can I tell you something?
Yeah.
That's what comics used to do.
Really?
Comics used to have the final say. Yeah. Shit would happen. News would happen. Someone would shoot a special and they go, this is what happened this year and I have the final say. What they would do with their stand-up specials.
People also used to rub two sticks together to make fire. What are we doing? Like, now it's in the moment. There was no internet. Now, if you don't have the take while it's happening, it's kind of over.
Yeah, comedians used to have some time to digest it, write some jokes about it, put out a special and go, this is my take.
They can still do that, but I think it's more important now than ever to be like funny all the time.
Yeah, all the time, relentlessly.
If you're hot on Instagram, you got to be hot all the time. If you're smart, you got to be smart all the time. If you're funny, you got to be funny all the time. Why? If not, the audience of people who is used to what you're doing goes, they go somewhere else.
It's interesting because it's just such a like skill.
Nobody's waiting on anyone special.
Mm-hmm.
Even the biggest comedians in the world. Nobody's waiting on your special. Nobody's got their feet up and going, when's that special coming out? Nobody cares anymore.
Oh,
if it's out and it's great, then people love it and they'll share it. But nobody's waiting. Nobody's waiting on season 4 Ozark. No one cares. I never need to see. And I liked the show, but I never need to see another episode again. I'm over it. I'm done. Netflix can't do this where it's like 3 years later. It's
Our attention
cares.
Span is too short.
It's
we're all
done.
Too spoiled now.
We're all too spoiled. We all want it now.
And we're all just like addicts. I mean, but where does this go? I mean, you know, I'm the super sad true love story because I'm an old fossil that's still making adapting books to be television shows. Like this is a book that takes place in 2050. Like what? Where do we go from? Everyone's going to have their own channel soon.
Well, yeah, everyone's going to have their own platform, their own channel. The people that are interesting or crazy enough or funny enough or good looking enough are going to get attention. It's kind of like what it was. It's just the same thing it was, right? What's interesting to people hasn't changed. What's attractive to people hasn't changed. What's funny to people really hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. people's tastes are kind of similar. It's the way that they get it. People eat the same food they ate 50 years ago. Mm. They just get it very different ways. What are you getting on Postmates? What are they bringing over, steak and potatoes? It's what my grandfather
ate. Are we going to start doing Postmates comedy? No, but I mean, door to door comedy?
This is what my grandfather ate. So it's just a new mechanism to get the same thing. That's what I'm trying to get all you people to understand. You know?
Is there something to be said? I'm just devil's advocate here for a little mystery, a little enigmatic. You don't need to see me all the time. See me some of the time. It's just like too much access.
Right.
But maybe it's because I'm a woman and women are grading.
Yes, man. Yes.
When there's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, that.
It's just the Norma Desmond thing where she goes, it's the pictures that have gotten small.
I'm just saying, I think you guys can talk for 10 hours a week and people love you. I think if I talk for 10 hours a week, I'm like, get death threats. I think it's a different business model for a guy.
I don't know about that.
Maybe. Tell me I'm wrong. Maybe this is internalized sexism. Maybe I'm playing the victim, but I do not think the same business model works for a female comic. Female comics are the most loathed people on the planet. I'm like the most loathed person.
Yeah, but why are they wrong? That's the question, right? Because, like, I understand what you're saying, but what is that, by the way?
What?
The bar.
What? Oh, this is
a Rice Krispie
treat? This is from a month ago. You're not eating that. Do you want a bar?
No, I didn't know what it was.
I just bought you a beautiful lunch.
I know, it looked like a Rice Krispie treat.
Yeah, you're not eating
there
that.
There was no cake. Anyway.
I know. He doesn't make cakes. I asked him.
I know. And no one does in LA, I guess. The point is,
no one eats cake
in LA. I think
people
would love to hear you talk. I think that it has nothing to do with gender. And I think it's just about betting on yourself.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
what is the route for a female comic right now, do you think? This is a very interesting question.
It's a great question.
Because you're probably right that it is different for men and women.
It is just different. Dax Shepard and I talk about very similar. People want to hear a guy be vulnerable. I mean, I think maybe I'm wrong, but is there a cap on how popular a woman can get with just talking?
Oprah.
Sally Jesse Raphael. It was visual. That was
do an hour visual on YouTube.
Yeah, but that was also a different time when there were three channels. You didn't have any choices.
Agreed. But I mean, there are women.
Radio. Is there any woman who has spoken 10 hours a week that we're like, can't wait to listen? I think Prairie Home Companion. I think Howard Stern. I think, you know, Kimmel and Carolla were doing that radio show.
Yeah, it's, listen.
Women get to go, like, be the ones that laugh at the jokes, the Robin on the Howard.
You're not wrong, but I think that there's successful podcasters.
Yeah.
There are people that are women, and then, you know, radio is kind of a dead medium.
I'm just curious how long this podcast boom is going to go.
It's on the edge of over.
Okay.
The good ones will stay around.
Yeah.
The ones that are funny, the ones that evolve. The ones that are people just, it is really obvious to people who's doing this because they're bored. Who's doing it because
or who's doing it because they just have like weird FOMO or just.
Who's doing it because an agent or manager called you and went, you got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very obvious to people. If your heart and soul's in it and you love to do it, people know that. People can pick that up.
Mm.
People can also pick up anything that you do where you're, you know, whether you're inauthentic or you're just kind of like, hey, I'm just going through the motions.
Mm.
There's a lot of people that are like, I have a podcast now because I guess I got to have a podcast. It's like if you're into it and you do it and you love doing it and you build that relationship with your fans, which is the best podcast fandom is the best relationship ever with your fans.
Yeah, it really is.
They love you. They're like your family. They talk to you. They update you on things that are going on in their life. Some of them are scary, and yes, they'll kill you. But at the end of the day, it's so much better than having people that maybe they're on a couch or they're in a break room, and they turn on a TV, and you're there, and they're like, okay. And you're playing some character, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're funny as that character. And they don't care anything about it. Yeah.
You're lying to me. You're pretending. What are we doing?
Right.
So
people are, I do think that podcast for podcast's sake is on its way out.
Well, a lot of people are just doing it as their like plan B.
It was like when I was in mortgages, I was sitting at a diner and I gave the waiter my card. I said, I'm in mortgages. And then he took out a card and he said, I'm also in mortgages. And he was a guy who was giving me a pizza bagel. So I said, oh, everyone in the world is doing this. It's 6 months from over. And I was right. I think this is 6 months from who cares. Not every show, mind you. But I mean, the novelty of it.
And a lot of the famous people who just like did podcasts because they could.
Going away.
And are not doing numbers. It's actually, because I need to like compare things in order to understand. It's like similar to when in television, back when we did television, the sweeps week, you'd try to cast like a very famous person, like a stunt casting.
To get the numbers.
And it wouldn't get the numbers. Right. Because that's not what people are, they're tuning in for the original cast, not the celebrity.
Right.
Like it just, it never worked.
Right.
You know, it's like for a minute, movies and TV shows were trying to cast like YouTube influencers to be on TV shows, thinking the audience would follow them. They're like, no, we're not following you there. But there's something interesting about when celebrities go on, try to do a podcast and no one gives a shit. It's like, we didn't sign up to hear you talk for 3 hours. You haven't proven to us that that's your skill.
Right.
We want you to sit there and look pretty or be funny or do whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
And people don't follow them. So there are a lot of celebrities that start podcasts and they're not doing well.
Well, it's also when they're allowed to go and do other things, they're going to do them, right? So if you're allowed to make a movie or a TV show, or you're allowed to go do stand up, or you're allowed to go do, or if you're allowed to go on a vacation.
Yeah.
Like, whenever you're allowed to do the things you wanted to do, a lot of people are going to go, fuck this. I'm not doing this podcast.
Hmm.
I have a job.
Yeah.
People just want to feel like they have a job. So a lot of these actors and actresses are like, well, I don't have a job right now. I got to do something.
Yeah.
And their agent manager is like, hey, man, you got to stay relevant.
And a lot of them are starting podcasts and deciding to turn them into like political preach sessions also.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, what are you doing?
Because that's how to be relevant.
Huh.
That's how to be relevant. The politics has overtaken Hollywood. The stars of politics, Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro, are much more famous than Hollywood actors.
Can I ask you about Candace Owens?
Yes.
Is she a performance artist?
Anyone in media at her level is,
yeah.
And she certainly is.
Yeah.
She's smart.
I always feel like when people get like annoyed about her and Ann Coulter, I'm like, don't buy into this. This is all just,
I mean, you know what it is? It's like she is capitalizing on what you have to do. You don't have a choice. The William F. Buckley or whatever intellectual conservatism you want to imagine doesn't work. He who shrieks the loudest is going to get the attention. So you got to say wild shit all the time to even get the plane off the ground.
Yeah, it's so true.
And that's what these people are all doing. So it's like, is she an artist, performance artist? Yeah. Is she any more of one than AOC? No. That's what they all have to do. Our politicians now are governing off Twitter. They want to get retweets. They want to go viral. I mean, this is absurd.
Sick.
This is sick, but this is where we're at. So anybody that levels that charge at her, like, oh, she's a grifter, she's this, she's that, it's like she's existing in the climate that we have.
Yeah, right.
It's what it is.
I hate a racket. I hate, you know me, I'm like I'll return something that was $7.
Are you calling student loan debts rackets?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that would be just clarification.
I don't
for
like
the listeners.
I don't like getting bamboozled. Are we allowed to say that word?
Bamboozled.
Yeah. Someone look it up. Am I canceled? I'm just saying I don't like a racket. And
student loans are terrible.
Terrible.
I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to them.
Mm-hmm.
At 19 years old,
how am I supposed
to know? I did think I needed $30,000.
Yeah, but at 19 years old,
for ramen noodles.
They got you hook, line, and sinker. You're 19 years old. You're like, yeah, I'm gonna be able to pay that off. Cardi B,
yeah.
Look how rich she got by showing. You think you're gonna be able to afford
because
it.
You're gonna have a degree,
but
and you're like, I'll have a degree, so I'll get a job. If I have a job, I'll have money. If I have money, I can pay these student loan debts off. Here's a surprise: you have none of that.
Truly.
Fun fact.
And all the jobs that I trained for no longer exist. Now I have all these student loans, and I'm paying off this college that taught me stuff that I can't even use.
Yeah, exactly. Because
now it's obsolete.
Because I didn't go to school to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a teacher, so everything else is pointless. What am I, a historian? This is old.
Student loans, it's a hot topic.
There's no money in that.
It's a hot topic. Bernie Sanders is talking about it.
It's a hot topic.
And we're talking about Earnest.
Earnest, yeah, we should mention them.
Mm-hmm.
Earnest is, they offer low-rate student loan refinancing. So basically they make it really easy and flexible.
If you're drowning
to pay
in
off
student,
your student
loans,
loans,
Earnest will rescue you. This is an amazing company. With Earnest, you get radically flexible payments and you can pick your loan term. By refinancing, you can reduce your loan term.
You can also combine multiple loans, which is really awesome because student loans, if you ever notice, if you go pay them off, they're broken up into like 15 separate loans.
Oh my God, they make it so complicated.
They do. Earnest is offering our listeners a $100 cash bonus. Refinance your student debt at earnest.com/Whitney. Terms and conditions apply. Now, Earnest is giving our listeners a $100 bonus. Refinance your student loans at earnest.com/Whitney. Terms and conditions apply. Once again, you get a $100 cash bonus when you visit earnest.com/Whitney to refinance your student loans. Not available in all states. Terms and conditions apply. Visit earnest.com/Whitney for more details. Terms and conditions apply. Earnest Student Loan Refinancing made by Earnest Operations, LLC, NMLS number 1204917, California Finance Law License number 60547883, 2nd Street, Suite 401, North San Francisco, California, 94107. Visit earnest.com/license for a full list of licenses.
You did go to college. Benton, Valentine's Day is coming up. What are you getting me? Are you my Valentine?
Well, according to this ad, an erection. I mean, it's a weird time to bring this question up, don't you think?
I just...
we're talking about Roman.
Well, we're talking about Roman. We're talking about hard dicks.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day is coming up, and that's what I would like. A hard dick in a box. Okay?
Right.
How hard is it? Do it.
I could probably... we could probably make that happen.
Valentine's Day is coming up. For a lot of guys, it's pressure. I know. You got to get it up. You got to deliver.
First of all, you have to remember the date.
Yes.
Very difficult.
Right, right.
You have to get a gift.
Yes. Guys can remember Super Bowl dates, but Valentine's Day.
You have to go into a flower
guys
shop.
Guys can remember how many
another
home bases
man
Mickey Robinson made in the 20s.
Yeah.
But they can't remember February 14th every year. Same
you
every year.
You can remember the amount of rings another man wears, but you can't buy one for Valentine's Day. Very confusing.
But it's Valentine's Day is stressful. I'm the first person to say it is a totally socially constructed capitalist conspiracy shit show. You can never win on Valentine's Day. It's just too much pressure. It's like New Year's Eve. It's just like it's never going to live up to the hype. You're going to get flowers. Oh, you got me flowers. That's so unoriginal. Chocolates. Oh, that's so unoriginal. It's just like I just feel like guys can't win on this day until now. Until now. You know how you can win? A hard dick that works.
Valentine's Day is for you guys. It's for you boys. And with Roman, you don't have to worry about dealing with ED because Roman's got you covered. You can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for erectile dysfunction all in the comfort and privacy of your home, mm-hmm. which is the only place, honestly, I would want to talk about ED.
Because here's what I'll say. Having had experience with this, it's so complicated because when a guy feels pressure to perform, the girl starts to get insecure. You think it's your fault. You start getting upset and crying, and I'm like sitting there in lingerie that I got off Amazon that's probably already giving me tetanus. Like, I'm already upset. You know, it's just...
I love the idea of pressure to perform like you're putting on a Broadway play. Like, you're...
We don't talk about, like, men, the unrealistic expectations we have for men in the bedroom. We only talk about the women. Men have pressure, too.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
What is it?
It's not fair. It's not fair, and... if I'm not hot enough for you, buy this product.
Yeah.
I'm talking directly to my lover.
Hard penises are for everyone, as we've learned here. For a limited time, get up to $35 off your first month of ED treatment. Order by 210 for guaranteed delivery by Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. Just go to GetRoman.com/Whitney to get started. That's GetRoman.com/Whitney.
I don't know if I'm moving to Austin. I want to get back to our fight.
Be a venture capitalist.
Because I do feel like we are the Ross and Rachel of the pandemic.
What a reference.
We are the Scully and Mulder. I can do this all day.
I know, and I love those shows. You don't understand that I appreciate that era of Hollywood. I love it. I watched all of those shows.
Yeah.
I watched Friends, Frasier, Seinfeld, Just Shoot Me. I watched Melrose Place. I watched NYPD Blue.
I still have this thing in my heart where and maybe it's because it's like I'm sad and I...
Dude, I love the Emmy. I used to watch the Emmys.
I love the family. Like walking onto a set, you have an instant family. That's so pathetic
to say. I used to watch SNL every... I used to watch Letterman's monologue every night. I loved all of that shit. I grew up watching the Dana Carvey show and then like...
Ugh,
I watched it all and I just... Right now, it's very different. But I loved it.
A red carpet tomorrow on Zoom.
I mean, at a certain point, we got to say, hey, let's buy a ranch
over.
In Austin, Texas. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, who are you even interviewing on this red carpet on Zoom?
But you know, Texas is very dusty. I don't know how
you keep trying to find the LA's.
LA
is a litter box. Texas is dusty. I mean, LA is literally
You are one of the most delicate Brilliant. People yeah. I know.
Delicate
people I know. You appreciate the finer things in life. Texas is, I'm just saying, you're going to...
Well, there are planes, there are trains, there's automobiles. Mm-hmm. And if I don't like something, I can go and do that thing and then go back. I'm going to live in a place where I have greenery.
Mm-hmm.
I have a nice big pool.
Okay.
It's going to be beautiful. Okay. I'm going to have a podcast studio. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a green screen to do videos and a production capability. Rogan's going to have a club.
Yes.
I mean, why not?
When is that going to open?
I don't know.
Because
Probably before the Comedy Store and the Improv.
Yeah. Something that really bothers me about you is you've always pretty much been right about this stuff. So what's going to happen this year? Are we touring in the fall?
In clubs.
Mm.
In clubs.
Mm.
I don't know if theaters come back.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, I think, hopefully clubs.
Mm-hmm.
At half to 75% capacity. You know, we have a mixture of herd immunity. It depends on what happens with these strains and if we get better with treatments and mitigation and things like that. I think I was a person where I was going, this is all going to go back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now becoming a person that is starting to believe.
No, you've broken. You've fully broken.
Yeah. No, I'm starting.
You've gone rogue.
I'm starting to believe that to be a survivor, you have to accept the world's never going back to what it was.
Right.
Never.
You started wearing beanies. I mean, you look like a, you know, you you look like a rogue homeless person.
I'm here to tell you the truth. The world's never going back to the way it was. You have to adapt and evolve and survive. And so many people are going to fight that tooth and nail because mm-hmm. they all the time they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they become dinosaurs and they go extinct. And that's what it is. It's going to be, dude, people go to Miami, people go to Austin, New York, LA. Dude, it's been done.
Yeah.
Who cares? I mean, truly, who cares? No one can even defend. You're the only one who's even tried. Everyone else I called was like, yeah, good. I'm leaving too.
I mean.
You're the only one. You come from the golden age, the golden era.
Bill Burr staying.
Great.
Sebastian's probably staying.
Yeah, but guys that make $25 million a year don't have any advice for me.
Yeah.
That's the reality. If you want to make money and you're like desperate, you talk to the person who has a job, not the guy that owns like five companies.
Right.
Because his advice is going to be like when I first came to LA, I'm like trying to lose weight. Rogan's like, go to chef, man. Go to trainer. Build a gym. You know, and it's like, oh, you got to talk to the person who lost 20 pounds and they go, oh, well, how about eating like three times or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill Burr's a genius. Sebastian's a genius. They're the greatest ever. And of course they'll stay and they should. People like me at the stage of my career I'm at, I'm like, there's no downside to getting out of here and seeing what's up.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, those guys will...
I'm going to miss you. You're my only...
I know, but I'll be back a lot.
Friend left.
I'll be back a lot.
Hasn't been canceled.
I'll be back a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be in Austin. People are going to live in a bunch of different places.
Hmm.
That's what's going to come out of this.
I just...
People are going to be transient.
Hmm.
Suburbs are back. Transience is back.
Uh-huh.
People that are like, I don't want to commit myself to any one area ever.
Question. Why are your fans so hot?
A lot of them are attractive.
It's weird. Every hot guy I know loves you. What is that?
Because they want to
be like male models.
They secretly want to be overweight with a skin condition.
Like, what is that? Every random hot guy that I like dated on Raya will be like, dude, I love Tim Dillon. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm thankful for any and all fans that I have.
I'm definitely getting worried about your ascent.
Well, and that's been obvious to a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
But it's, we all respect the silent film stars. We all respect the golden age. We all respect, you know what I mean?
No.
We get it. We understand it, you know? Have you seen Sunset Boulevard?
I have.
Yeah. You know, it's like you wander into a set and you're like, I don't know why I'm frightened. I know my way around here, you know? Everyone's like, Mrs. Cummings.
Well, you have to understand.
Mrs. Cummings, it's quarantine. You must leave the studio.
You have to understand that as someone that like tooth and nail clawed my way to figure out this business and I finally know how to do it.
Yeah, but you did
it. And everyone's like, now go do this business that you don't understand at all.
You succeeded.
And then everyone in the comments is saying you're a cunt on YouTube, but keep doing it. I'm like, I kind of preferred when the lawyers told me I couldn't make that joke.
People are going to say mean things.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It's like
you guys are like, it fucking sucks to do sitcoms. Lawyers are telling you you can't make jokes. I'm like, yeah, well, I just did Rogan's podcast and now I'm getting death threats.
Yeah.
So sitcoms, actually, I'd rather fight with lawyers.
I think you've succeeded so much that you can kind of take a chill pill. You've done it.
Yeah, but you know we can't do that.
Well, I know. I'm not saying take a chill pill.
Workaholic addicts.
But like you've succeeded in ways that were unimaginable to the young girl that moved to LA, right?
Maybe.
I mean, unimaginable success you've had. So at a certain point, you got to go, I did it.
Not successful enough to get Tim Dillon to show up on time for his podcast. Clearly. Don't have that kind of success.
Yeah, it was scheduling. But
Sunday, 10 a.m. Couldn't make it work.
I think at a certain point, you just have to say, like, do what you enjoy. Mm-hmm. That's the ticket. Don't worry about what other people say. Don't worry about comments. Don't worry about any of that. What do you really enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
Do that.
Yeah.
That's the ticket. You've earned the right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You've won. So now winning means do what you want. That's the move. That's it.
What's going to happen? You're going to go to Austin.
Yeah.
You're going to go nuts. You're going to hate it. You're going to come crawling back and come live with me.
I don't
Three months. I give him till...
That sounds like a nightmare. I'd rather be covered in black widows in the middle of a ditch in Texas than come crawling back to Los Angeles with you and have you lecture like, I'm hosting an Emmy after party on Zoom. Lisa Kudrow is going to be there. You must put on powder. Get your Instagram story ready. She's at the top of the stairs, you know? She's going to shoot me, like at the end of Sunset Boulevard. She's just going to shoot me with a gun, and then her dogs are going to eat her. And then we're all going to have to be like, man, no one saw that coming except anyone with eyes.
I mean, I do. I definitely think the hair needs to go back.
Whitney, please.
Because I don't.
Please,
I know.
God.
I definitely, as soon as the hair started, my brain. That's when my brain.
It's just probably not natural to have the dye by the brain.
Like. Seeping into.
How many things have you done? You've done pink. You've done green.
I've done pink. I did blue, and now this is blue and purple.
Yeah,
comedians are meant to be doing stand-up every night.
I agree with you. I
feel like, if I may, I feel like for the first 6 months, I really held tight. I was steady.
I forget what you look like.
Around Thanksgiving is when I started
to break. Do we have a photo of her before the hair? I like forget what she looked like before the hair.
I started to break around Thanksgiving. That's when I really, really started to catch up to me. The demon started to catch up to me.
Right.
The not doing stand-up, the addiction that was keeping all the voices at bay started catching up to me.
It fucks us all. I get it. We're all losing our minds.
That's me with brown hair. I think I got to go back to brown hair. I think got to pull it together. It's gone too far. But this is my argument against podcasting. This has been enabled. People are like, love it. Whereas in TV, they go, no, you can't do that. You look insane.
There's different mediums, different strokes for different folks.
Because I feel like you can go down a wormhole in social media where you can find anyone to encourage bad choices.
That's absolutely true, but you gotta
something to be said for the old school publicist who's like, yeah, we don't let her speak. Like, there's
I agree.
Because I was like,
you,
I'm gonna fire everyone.
Certainly agree.
I'm going rogue.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, there's a reason publicists this ridiculous Byzantine system works. Because talent, We're mentally ill. We shouldn't be talking. We shouldn't be making our own choices. We shouldn't be able to record ourselves and blast at any time.
When you were on the Honeymooners, you were one of the most iconic figures in television. Okay? You worked with Jackie Gleason. You worked with Art Carney. These were legends. I'm so grateful. We're grateful to have known you and to have the gifts that you've given to us. The episode where you and Ethel ate the chocolates. When they were going down the thing.
By the way, actually is. Cloris Leachman passed away.
Yes.
And I had like four pictures of me and her to choose from.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad.
It was.
It's sad that Cloris Leachman died. Not that you took pictures.
Yeah.
Listen, you have to join the ranks of the legends.
You know what I want to do?
You have to join the ranks. Ascend the golden staircase.
I want to be a judge on one of those mask shows. Mask singer. I want to just be a judge.
Well, that's nice.
I want to do that.
Well, isn't that
do
fun?
Do comedy most of the year, 2 months as a judge on one of those ridiculous shows, because people still watch those.
But you can do it.
They're fun. That, I have fun doing that.
Can't you get that gig?
Yes. So I was a guest host on Masked Dancer last night. I went and shot it like a couple months ago. It was a fucking blast.
Are you in the studio and everything?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We went and shot it. It was like Ashley Tisdale and Paula Abdul and Brian Austin Green and Dr. Ken. I was like,
who?
Craig Robinson.
Brian Austin Green, the guy from 90210?
Yes, but he won Matt. But this is 90210, the first one. But here's what I'll say. Remember he shot his friend? Or his friend killed himself on 90210? Remember that? I brought it up on The Masked Dancer. They cut it out.
Oh, really?
I was like, yeah, I remember.
How is Brian Austin Green not shot himself?
He's making that Masked Dancer money.
I'm sure he is. But and I wish him all the best. Doesn't that sound fun, everyone?
But here's what I'll say.
Doesn't TV sound good?
You can see
someone dress up like a crab on the Fox lot.
I went on the Masked Dancer and I was like, this is what Hollywood should be. A ridiculous spectacle with a bunch of idiots not pretending they're better than anyone. We're in sequin costumes. We're doing dumb dances with washed up slut. This is what it should be.
Right.
A ridiculous clown show spectacle.
Yes.
Silvio Berlusconi 101. Why were we pretending we were artists and had a craft and we were taking ourselves seriously? We're fucking pigs. We're disgusting mentally ill pigs that are entertaining for like an hour a day. This is what we should be doing.
Right. Well, I wish you luck in your new career at The Masked Dancer. I've never seen the show, but I'm sure it's good. And I think people need to watch it in between handfuls of OxyContin or whatever they're doing in this country. Whatever people are doing in this country, in between that, while they're scratching themselves in an opioid rage, they should watch Brian Austin Green dress up like Sebastian from The Little Mermaid and dance.
It's pretty fucking entertaining.
I bet it is.
I think that, you know what it is? Because that's what it's come to, is that watching people dance in costumes, you realize, like, when you see an actor acting, you're like, oh, that's the guy that dated the so-and-so, or that's the guy that raped so-and-so. Like, actors are too distracting now because we know too much about them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But someone in a costume performing and singing, you're just like, oh, I can just sit here. And that was the only time I've been entertained in, like, months.
Well, I got to watch it because it is super popular. And I have friends that watch it who I respect. So I'm like, why are you watching that? But they're like, what are we supposed to do? Listen to your podcast over and over again? I'm like, yes.
Because it's like mindless. It's what entertainment's supposed to be. Mindless, fun.
We can't play a clip from
campy,
it, right?
Campy, silly. Yeah, we can play it. Mindless, campy. Hold on. Whitney Cummings, Masked Dancer.
Yeah, because I'm interested.
It also could be my dear friend Kate Upton had a baby, has a similar height.
No, I'm sorry. Okay, well, Kate Upton's my actual friend.
Okay.
I'm calling Kate Upton.
No, don't call.
Why not? I'm going to see if she really knows who you are.
tweet.
If she doesn't answer, this could be Kate Upton.
Like, it was like, I don't, that's a weird trailer, or that's, you know, whatever. It's just like silly shit. You know what I mean? It's insanity. It's apocalyptic entertainment, you know? Masked Dancer. They're just watching.
Do you watch this, Ben? Do your wife watch it?
Here we go. Look at this. This is a television show.
If you're not sure who this flower is, here's a beautiful bouquet of new clues for you.
It's a game show. You have to figure it out. It's math. You have to be engaged. TV knows it's not relevant anymore. They know they have to do something to make you addicted.
It's a game I call Rapid Fire.
Let's see what
fire.
Was
like you just
Donna Martin will start.
Look at the editing. They know how short our attention span is.
I know it's perfect.
They understand.
This is perfect. Like, let's see what question you ask.
She graduated.
I don't know.
What was that?
Where would you retire?
I've never thought about it.
That's because she's young.
How are you at memorizing dialogue?
I would say I'm a pro.
Could be an actor.
Okay, what would be worse? Running out of gas or running low on battery on your phone?
On my phone, of course.
Yes. Whoa.
So what does that mean?
Mindless.
Influencer?
I know what you're talking about.
Aha. From the clues, who do you think this is? Kent.
I still think this is an actor. And a trained dancer. Yep. I thought this was Heather Morris.
I mean, this is the future of TV, right? That.
Okay, well, count me out. I mean, count me out. That's all.
It's like,
there's no interest. I mean, imagine sitting on a panel and being like, hey, who are you? Like, that is a hell. What you were showing me is a hell. To drive my car to that lot, to sit on that studio, get COVID tested, swabs in your nose and ass. You sit there and you got to sit next to Ashley Tisdale, and then you got to go, oh my God, so you acted, you sang. What's your relationship like your sister? Do you have a TikTok with your sister? To me, that is the seventh ring of hell. Truly.
Well,
but I get it. People love it.
Yeah. I mean, you will. There's a point where network television will come to you with an amount of money and you're like, work 4 days for this amount of money and you will change your mind.
And when that happens,
everyone caves. You know what? You're like the new Patton Oswalt. He's like, fuck network. You guys aren't the first people to say fuck Hollywood. Like alt comics were doing this like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And Patton Oswalt was like, sitcoms are stupid. And then he's in Ratatouille and on Two and a Half Men or Two
whatever,
and a Half
dude.
Men.
I'm trying to get into the Sway House.
King of Queens. Like, what are we doing? You all sell out eventually. You know, I've been around long enough to know that you all sell out eventually.
Do you know what the Sway House is?
I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
What is it?
I'm not a pedophile, so I haven't been there, Tim.
Everyone is over 18.
But it is
in the Sway House.
It is a requirement to join, I believe.
Maybe
it is
not.
Where they go, they make TikTok content, and they do their lazy cheerleading for the camera, which is not sustainable.
Why, when you talk about it, is there such an anger?
Because it's not sustainable.
Is there such an anger in your voice?
We are wired for completion. Storytelling will never go away.
Oh, boy.
It will never go away.
Who says women are grating? When you talk about these TikTokers, it sounds like you've just swallowed a bit of acid.
No, and not I the used drug. To dance in the mirror when I was 18. I'm so glad I didn't put it on Instagram.
Are
or
you?
Like on something permanent.
Well, I'm just saying, don't hate on my boys. We're just trying to do what we got to do. You know, we've taken over this town, and that's where I'm at.
You know
that's
what's
where I'm
interesting?
At.
The comics that have become somewhat irrelevant during this time.
Yes.
Is this theory carry any weight? Like, I do feel like it's kind of like survival of the kindest, you know, because of
The people that are kind to each other are the ones that get on each other's podcasts.
Don't you think? Because it's kind of become like the people that were dicks are kind of going away.
Yes, that is true. But I also think they'll be back.
Huh.
They'll be back.
You think?
Yeah, but I think that there's never going to be one world anymore. That's the thing that's hard to understand.
And that's what else
there will never be one world anymore.
Yeah.
So the people that are gone are going to come back, but they're going to be on another dimension. And they're going to do things like the Masked Dancer that I don't give a shit about.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's going to be like, yeah, but there's a bazillion people watching. I'm going to go, yeah, but I don't care.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, yeah, he's got a little dumb show on YouTube. I'm like, yeah, but there's 500,000 people watching. And they're going to be like, really? Like, but whatever. They're going to be like, we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to live in a different world.
Mm.
I don't want to have to live in somebody else's world. I don't want them to have to live in my world. Mm. Choose your own reality. 2021.
You can
choose
also
your own
have
reality.
You can also do this for 2 months and then go do your other thing for
2 months of the Masked Dancer.
Yes, it's like a week. You shoot that for like a week.
2 months.
Get in, get the fuck out.
Masked Dancer. I mean, it's just a crazy. So that's the argument to stay in LA. Well, you're right. I'm not going to go to Austin. Hopefully, I'll get on the Masked Dancer. And I'm not even big enough to be a judge. I'm not nearly big enough to be a judge. That's what's crazy.
You will at some point.
Here's
but
to
it's
hoping.
Funny because Tim's like, fuck Hollywood, they won't hire me. They will. You just keep calling them pedophiles. Every week you call them baby dick eating pedophiles. Like, they want to hire you. You and Theo are like, fuck, the Hollywood won't hire me. They don't respect me. It's like, well, all you do is say that they are...
hire us to do what, though?
Run pizza places with babies being trafficked.
Well, here's the deal.
You're making it very hard for them to do business with you.
What we're doing is relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing is irrelevant. That's the reality. The Masked Dancer is not relevant to anyone except corn-fed pigs who are like falling out of their disgusting cars and crawling into a golden corral. That's who watches that show.
Yes.
People whose brains have leaked out of their ears. And there's nothing wrong with that. They deserve entertainment too.
Even younger demo than TikTok. I'm getting 10-year-olds on The Masked Dancer.
Oh, well, and you should be proud. Why would I call Hollywood pedophiles when they're marketing
to
10-year-olds? Why would I?
Because I was on there and they were like, you know, this is like a kid's show. And I was like, oh, had no idea.
I think that if you cut this up in clips, you should cut it up to make it look like me and Whitney got in a big fight where I go, you're irrelevant. What I'm doing is irrelevant. What you're doing is irrelevant. Because I'm telling you, very smart. None of you will do this, but I'm telling you, because I get views. What you should do is actually make it look very like contentious and put like dun, 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 dun music.
It is not contentious.
On.
Like, I feel like we're still healing from our fight.
It's not contentious on my end at all.
And you're focused on your stock market thing.
I'm so on another planet because I don't even do this anymore. Like, you're talking to me as a comedian. I'm not even a comedian anymore.
No, you're fully in your businessman.
Hold the line. I want to talk to your brother. I want to have an hour conversation with your brother.
Oh, you should.
About this.
Really quick. Am I buying Bitcoin this week?
Sure.
Why?
Because it's going to, you know, be a thing. It's going to be here. It's going to stay. Mm-hmm. I think that the, you know, it'll go up. I don't think there's going to be a massive crash.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something that you should own. You should absolutely own one.
I took my money out of cannabis.
I would keep money in cannabis. I keep money in electric cars. Keep money in everything that's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Cannabis is going to be legal.
Mm.
Electric cars are the wave of the future. Tesla is a massive stock. Like, you know, but right now, the two most things that I believe in most are video game stores and movie theaters. That I believe in most in terms of the trends that are happening.
Hollywood's dead, but movie theaters will work. Like, no one's making movies, but movie theaters are...
This episode should be called Hold the Line. Do you guys title your episodes? Hold the Line, baby.
I love that you hate Hollywood movies, but you're investing in movie theaters.
But here's the thing. What you're calling Hollywood is actually just a fire. And Hollywood is actually the things that you hate, which is people like me, the TikTokers.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
Corvette.
What about Snapchat? No?
It's fine.
Okay. As the authority on all things social media.
Well, I think TikTok is a... Now, I don't have a lot of followers on TikTok because I've devoted most of my time to managing money. But I recognize the power of being young Hollywood and being 17 years old and having people like you hate on me. But that's okay. That's part of my journey. Part of my journey is to get hated on and still flourish. My haters make me stronger. That's all.
There is something kind of amazing about this new generation. They DM each other. They help each other. It's such the opposite of how comedians are.
It's a collaborative generation. Yeah. We're taking over.
We?
Yeah.
Oh.
I am the D'Amelios and they are me. We're all one.
But why then? I'm just curious. What about what they did was...
They're just the girls next door and they just danced.
They were consistent and did it.
They just did it. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you want me to do?
Hmm.
I can't tell you why... Me and my friends are the coolest people in the country.
If Charlie D'Amelio went on an...
She's my best friend. Charlie D'Amelio is my best friend.
If Charlie D'Amelio went on a theater tour tomorrow, how many tickets would she sell? In America.
I don't know.
Is it
good question.
We just don't know what's translating to ticket sales
I
yet.
Bet it would be a few. I bet she could pull some numbers.
In the United States.
I bet she
These
could
aren't
pull
like
some
random China no, numbers, India
let's
numbers.
Let's say a quarter... Let's say 3/4 of her TikTok following is fake.
Can you see?
That still leaves her that's with 25 true. Million people.
Can you see on TikTok where your followers live like you can on Instagram?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't think so.
Hmm. That's shady to me.
I'm sure it's shady. Of course TikTok's shady.
Yeah.
But you got to get on Triller.
What's that?
Triller's the new TikTok.
What?
You old goat. Triller's the new TikTok.
Triller?
Yeah, it's a new TikTok.
Did you, whatever happened with Twitch? Twitch.
Twitch is there.
Weren't we going to start a Twitch empire?
People are making money on Twitch.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's happening with Twitch?
People are gaming.
Should we do the OnlyFans roast? I want to do a roast that's on OnlyFans, and it's like the dirty jokes that we're not allowed to tell.
I don't want to shit on sex workers.
Okay.
I'm not an old conservative Republican like you. I'm a liberal progressive. Black Lives Matter AOC stand. So I don't want to...
OnlyFans.
Yeah, I don't want to shit on people that are trying to make a living.
Hmm. I think we can. I think if you want to do an independently distributed thing, you could do it on OnlyFans. You can shoot a special, put on OnlyFans. No.
I don't think so. I think we need to not. I think we should stay off OnlyFans.
Okay.
Let them have it.
Okay.
People got to have something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When are you leaving me?
March 1st. But I go on the road in a two,
what happens
like
to
weeks.
All the like we put so much effort into your house here.
It goes on a truck and it drives 20 hours, not even, to
my
Texas.
Pig is in Austin.
All the furniture looks better in the Texas house.
It's true.
Absolutely.
It is so my aesthetic.
It's beautiful. It works perfect.
And you're gonna live together?
No, he's gonna have a house with his wife.
Okay.
Yeah. He can afford a house in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I'm jealous. I'm you're jealous listen, and I feel left out. And
it's, you're going to be fine. We're all going to be back in LA. I'm going to come back to LA all the time. It's nothing. If I didn't tell you I was moving to Texas, you wouldn't know. You know what I mean?
Maybe. Oh, that might be true.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've been in Palm Springs and you've been, yeah.
Yeah, I've been here. I've been there. Yeah. I mean, it's just like I'm just telling you.
We
people.
Have to move all the time. That's the other thing about
have
comics. Like, it's like we are
Here's
sharks.
The thing, man. I guarantee you. Listen, you don't want to hear this because you're fixing up this house. It's going to be beautiful. I'm just saying there's a real possibility you're not going to want to spend time where you quarantined when it's
That's
over.
That's so interesting. Well, you know, also yeah. the house that I'm staying in now where I had COVID, the bedroom I had it in, I can't even look at it. I just, right. I don't want to think about it.
I think when the quarantine ends,
yeah,
you're going to look at this house and you're going to go, this reminds me.
Well, this is going to be a different
house. I have a water.
House. Yeah.
You're going to say, well, yeah, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's going to be still the house that you were in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go, I don't know. And you're going to put it on the market and you're going to sell it for a good amount of money.
Interesting.
And then you're going to go, you're always going to have a place here. You're going to downsize a little bit. You're going to get a beautiful place here, and you're going to buy a place in Austin or Texas or wherever for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to buy a ranch. You'll probably have a ranch.
The places without income tax are Nevada.
Florida. Texas.
Tennessee. Alaska.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know all of them.
Yeah.
Washington State, maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you this. I think you're going to live here for a while. I think you'll live here for a year after the reno's done. I think you'll live here for a year. But mm-hmm. I think eventually you're going to put it on the market and go. And you're going to put it on the market because this was the quarantine house.
Interesting.
Yeah, I believe so.
I feel like we had a good quarantine here.
It was great.
I don't think, I haven't had a negative, like we kind of made it
you
work.
You didn't have a negative experience. It doesn't matter. You got to keep moving. You're a shark. Got to keep moving.
It's so true.
Got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. I have to keep moving. I went to go get the house in Malibu and then I went, this isn't enough. This isn't foreign. I need a change. I need everything
yes,
to change.
Yes, your cabin fever.
I need everything to change. I need out of this state. I need out of this thing. I can't be like driving to West Hollywood being like, is the Comedy Store open? It's, having another dinner, yeah. Looking at a place
like
I used to work.
It's perseverate.
All my friends don't live here anymore. Comedy's not coming back. And I'm driving around like looking at the bombed out buildings being like, well, it's going to, but one day it's going to, nope.
Yeah.
Got to be new. It's all got to always be new. And I'm sure in 5 years in Austin, I'll be like, it's got to be new.
Yeah.
I'll keep a house there for taxes, but I'm like, I might go, I'm getting an apartment in New York City. They could be like, really?
No, you're like, going to be like a Palm Beach person, ultimately. You're going to be like a Palm Beach.
Very possible.
Yeah.
Very possible.
Where you belong. Epstein's house is for sale.
It's a beautiful home, but it's not nearly as nice as some of the other ones. But yeah, man, I don't think I'll spend the rest of my life in Texas.
Yeah.
But I do think I'm there. I think it's a 5 year game there. I'm 36, 40, 41. Like, I don't know how much, I don't know how much juice is left in anything I'm doing.
Yeah, so true.
And like, I, you know, who knows? Is a podcast in 5 years? Am I like, God, I love this? Am I like, this has become something else? Is it a late night show that mm-hmm. I host on YouTube and on other platforms? Am I like, do I want to, in 5 years, do I have enough money? I want to make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to move to LA for a year and like try to make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ben comes out every month
mm-hmm.
and we spend a week having meetings. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's all fine.
Mm-hmm.
He'll travel. I'll travel. He's the only dude I really need in terms of like a collaborative partnership that mm-hmm. we work on stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he'll have a wife. They'll have a few kids. But like, he works. He shows up all the time and works. And like, if I got to travel or if he's got to go somewhere and we got to pitch something or whatever, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think getting out of this area where literally everything I know is just over.
Yeah.
And for me to keep saying like, oh no, but you got to understand when it comes back. I keep saying when it comes back, I start to feel like a crazy person. I really do start to feel like a crazy person because it's like, I don't know if it's coming back or how it's coming back. You know, they're like, no, when it comes back, it's like a girl who's, you know, you have the relationship where they both go away to different colleges.
Yeah.
Like, no, but when we see each other.
Yeah,
when we see each other. No, on Thanksgiving.
Who are we kidding?
We have Christmas. Yeah. It's just not. It's over. And it's, by the way, if I was in New York during quarantine, I would fucking jet out of there. It's just wherever the hell you were. It's like, whatever you were, and especially this scene in LA has been bombed.
Do we know how Chappelle got COVID?
I have no idea. Yeah. Some person was with him that I think had it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because those shows were doing okay. I mean, I don't know. I'm touring next month. We'll see.
I'm touring next month, too.
Where are you going? Tell everyone.
I'm going to Baltimore. I'm going to Royersford, Pennsylvania.
Where are you playing in Baltimore?
Magoobies.
Love it.
Yeah, it's a great club.
This is such a great club. I always run my specials there before I shoot them.
I do Magoobies in Baltimore with Comedy Connection, Providence, Rhode Island. I'm doing Royersford, Pennsylvania, a dome, a heated dome. I mean, it's what we have to do now.
And then how many? Is it half capacity?
Whatever, something. Yeah,
looking
something.
Looking at people in hazmat suits?
Hilarities in Cleveland. Zany's in Chicago sold out, or the Improv in Chicago, Schomburg Improv sold out. We're not sold out yet. So
amazing
few
venue.
Tickets left. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited for the next chapter, but there's got to be a next chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for too long, I was still trying to reshuffle the cards here, and it wasn't exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't exciting.
I guess what I'm realizing about podcasting as I'm talking to you is I'm kind of shy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, this is, like, this is hard for me to do.
Right. It's difficult because you're...
I like hiding behind a computer, writing the thing, giving it, and then doing the thing after it's been practiced for a long time.
Well, for the
every
first...
Every time I leave a podcast, yeah. I have a complete nervous breakdown. I was like, that was terrible. I'm quitting podcasting.
For the... No, because you just, you're, when you're authentic, you're real. Everyone loves you. It's just like... the you, listen, everyone's got to get used to it. It's very different. And I think that, like, for the first half of your career... The movies were silent. These were silent films. So you just had to look at someone and they knew what you were talking about. You didn't have to learn dialogue or anything. And then when they started doing color, they did color and you're like, oh my God, I'm in color. And then they did talking in the films, dialogue. You've seen all of these advancements happen. Now people have TVs in their home. Like you saw people get TVs in their home. Mm. In the beginning, you were on a show called The Shadow, which was a radio show, which was one of the top radio shows. And they would interrupt it every now and then when there was an announcement about the war. But you've gone through all of these things and now you're like, now you just have to learn how to be yourself. Now you're just back to what we're doing now is back to the basics.
I feel like this, I'm like Valerie, I'm full Valerie Cherish from The Comeback at this point.
Yes. Yeah, a little bit.
I mean,
a little bit.
Do you not watch TV at all? You don't watch shows?
No.
Nothing.
I watch Succession.
Uh-huh.
I watch Cobra Kai.
Uh-huh.
I used to watch Ozark.
Mm-hmm.
I watch Curb sometimes, mm-hmm. not a ton. But I got to be honest with you, not a lot of TV.
Interesting.
Dude, I'm more listening to podcasts, or I'm more, and I don't listen to a ton of podcasts mm-hmm. compared to other people. I know people listen
to. You listen to podcasts as a fan?
If I'm interested in something, I will listen to a Lex Fridman podcast mm-hmm. for an hour and try to learn about what somebody's talking about.
I feel like I should have a kid with Lex Fridman.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I feel
what
like
a well adjusted kid.
Don't you think that's a good idea?
No.
I feel like we should have a kid together. We don't have to date or anything. No?
Yeah. I mean, he's an interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sweetheart, brilliant guy. Sure. Good. Go for it. You have my blessing.
Okay. Thank you.
You have my blessing.
So you listen to Lex's podcast?
I listen to Lex because I want to learn shit.
Okay.
Every now and then. Not always. Okay. But I mean, I don't know, man. I don't. I mean, do we watch TV, Ben? I don't really think we do. Like, it's boring.
Yeah.
I'm bored.
Yeah.
I'd rather like go on Clubhouse and like listen to people and talk shit.
Like real
and have
people.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of boring.
Like, well, Clubhouse is like the new reality TV, but
yeah.
with you know what I mean? But with
yeah.
but reality TV's never been real. This is
right.
like the real reality TV.
Right.
It's a bunch of people. They get people getting fights. People are like
it's interesting.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's just pure chaos.
Yeah.
Just mutiny.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love you.
Well, I love you too, and I hope you come visit.
I feel like we did a very mellow, kind of serious podcast today.
People need to hear the truth. Hold the line. Hold the line.
I love you.
I love you. Thank you for having me. Thank
you
for lunch.
Thank you for not canceling.
Thank you for having me.
I feel like we're here.
Tim Dillon Show. Tim J. Dillon on Instagram, Twitter. I'm on Clubhouse. Follow me on Clubhouse. Tim J. Dillon.
People can't get on Clubhouse without an invite.
Oh, then don't.
It's not public yet.
I'm a venture capitalist. Thank you.